ಶೂನ್ಯವಾದಿ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯ ದೇಶ ತಾರಿಣಿ. ಇಟ್ಸ್ ಎ ಟಫ್ ಆಕ್ಟ್ ಟು ಫಾಲೋ ಆಫ್ಟರ್ ದಿಸ್ ಡ್ರಾಮಾ. ವಿ ಕಮ್ ಟು ದಿಸ್ ಟೆಂಪಲ್ ಫಾರ್ ಸೆವರಲ್ ರೀಸನ್ಸ್. ವಿ ಕಮ್ ಹಿಯರ್ ರೆಗ್ಯುಲರ್ಲಿ ಅಂಡ್ ಸ್ಪೆಷಲಿ ಆನ್ ಸಚ್ ಒಕೇಶನ್ಸ್. On the festival of the appearance of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath ji. So, you know, there are several reasons we come here. One of them, of course, we've seen how we enjoy the atmosphere here, very friendly, you know, it is also humorous. We may also come to enjoy the prasad. We also like the very peaceful atmosphere, soak in the you know, all the trouble-free atmosphere. And there's nothing wrong in that. But but we should also remember that actually we have gained so much from Radha Gopinath's temple and Sri Sri Radha Gopinath ji that we may be taking things for granted. And therefore, occasions like these do give us an opportunity to perhaps reflect on what we've actually received and what has actually happened. Because Krishna has his own mysterious ways of how things happen, and most of the time we are, you know, innocently drawn into that wonderful web, and we bask in that. But if it would really give us a great benefit if we were to understand the underlying reasons. And sometimes when we reflect back and see what happened in our lives, then we can really see that. So there is a deep gratitude that probably all of us feel, that we enjoy, our life has changed to some extent. And we associate with people whom we really deeply appreciate, we take inspiration from. In addition, we also want to do something. So this principle of giving rather than taking is one of the most important principles we hear, and also we get a chance here to service. And our congregation may be perhaps 15,000-20,000 strong, but there are thousands of them who are doing services continuously, and most of them are not noticed. But that is where the benefit comes to for us, when we actually see that silently people are already doing what we should be also doing. So all this comes in the presence of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath ji when we come here. So no doubt the deities are so beautiful, and the decorations are so wonderful. The temple is magical. It's a spiritual world. Along with it, how it interacts with our life, what we could do on a daily, day-to-day basis. And when we leave the temple, when we are back in our so-called normal world, what can we do to continue this, capture this atmosphere, and not remain aloof from it? Just like Srila Prabhupada would always say that he never left Vrindavan. Though, literally speaking, when he went to the US in 1965, he physically embarked on this very difficult journey at the age of 69. But actually speaking, wherever he went, he carried Radha Damodar ji in his heart. And when he was in Los Angeles, he actually created Vrindavan. When he was in New York, he created Vrindavan. So Vrindavan is also a physical place, but it is also the spirit which can be created by, especially by the leadership, and then those who are faithfully following. So we have an opportunity here. We are here in the presence of Radha Gopinath ji, and therefore when we try to see some of the miracles that have happened, we don't realize it's a miracle, we just take it. Just like how when Krishna was small, I mean, he all those who were around him did not really see, they just took it for granted. So Krishna has this ability to completely influence us by his potencies. So right from the appearance of Radha Gopinath ji, actually before Radha Gopinath ji came here in July 17, 1988, the temple was the devotees, whoever were there that time, they had moved in by January 1987. So for about 16 months or so, there weren't any, these deities were not there. And in fact, the temple, the wall was right up to here. So the hall was much smaller. So there were only, of course it was very dilapidated, extremely run down, broken down condition, everything. You know, there were jalis all around. There is nothing we can recognize now. So in that atmosphere, the devotees had moved here. And that was by Srinathji Prabhu being empowered. There was a crisis in 1986, and somehow we had to find some place. And there was an agreement to give this over to Bhaktivedya Bhavan. But somehow, really, it was miraculous. It was controversial, but someone had to take the risk, and he was empowered to take that, and it was a difficult situation. So we could see actually now that was the first miracle of how, even before Radha Gopinath ji appeared, that he laid the ground for it. And then within those 17-18 months, before they actually came, also other problems started, because the neighbors were extremely agitated, you know, because suddenly the morning program started. And, you know, the noise levels went up, and that too in the peaceful early hours in the morning at 4:30. So there was again, there were dozens and dozens of court cases. But Krishna arranges in such a way that nothing happens easily. You know, everything happens only if you really desire, and you show your desire by struggles. And we were fortunate that we had Mahaprabhu. Prabhu was, since he was a practicing lawyer, and he had just come fresh from his battles for Radha Ras Bihari. So he was battle hardened and he was trained in this particular spiritual warfare. So he took us through various connections to various levels. And really, there's no exaggeration that there were several dozens of cases, and that went on for several years. But in the first 3-4 years itself, we could see that within the first 2-3 years, the indications were clear that the case actually went up to Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court actually gave a complete victory. And it was so challenging, extremely disturbing, because you know, we had people who were coming and, you know, spying on us, and then they were trying to take the decibel level measurements just from behind, and they used that as a as proof to show that this is disturbing us. Then we had to go and, as per our lawyer's advice, and we went to Siddhivinayak and other temples and got their levels and said that they are much more than what we are, and therefore the right to pray was there. So somehow anxiety was full, but Radha Gopinath ji, we didn't understand that. Radha Gopinath ji actually was giving their mercy. There were deities here, but this hall was very dingy, dark, extremely... dusty. There was because even the standards of cleanliness were not really much, and there was just a small wooden trunk, as you find in many people's homes, small shelf on which small deities were there. And because the wooden planks were extremely poor, you know, that time and the neighborhood is, we are talking now of a closed neighborhood, but actually that time we also had a full-fledged school below, where the hall is there. And they had actually built a mezzanine, so they were managing in those two. So the mezzanine was illegal, but they were running the school in those two floors. And when we had Sampat coaching classes in this passage, and then we had Bola's classes down, and also where the gift shop is, as well as where the below on the in the next building. And then above that, where the offices are just now, there we had the laundry. So we had all kinds of gases. So it was a completely... And here there were yoga classes going on by the school. And in that we put up this temple deities, small deities. But because of wooden planks were so poor, so every time the few devotees were there, when they would jump in the morning Mangalarti, so all the dust would go down into the school. And even our devotees would jump, our deities also would jump, because, you know, the wooden floor was very shaky. So it was a kind of tentative situation in our minds. We're just saying, living day to day, how it happened. And then, because when the legal cases slowly started becoming clearer, and then in 88, it was a miracle again that actually Mahaprabhu had gone to Jaipur, and there was no authorization as such which deity to take, but he was there and he saw some deities which were actually purchased by another temple, but they had not yet, or they were not in a position to lift it for some reason. And therefore, he took an on-the-spot decision without asking anybody, and just immediately took the deities and brought them here in a bullock cart. And I remember seeing them just outside Radhanath Swami's room outside. And so everything, when we look back, we can see, trying to fit the pieces, we can see the hand of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Ji, how it happened. And believe me, it is happening to us, even though we may not see it that way. And we will see later, perhaps in some cases, but we will see how these pieces fit into our lives. And that is why when we try to reflect on our responses to the situation in our life, we should always remember that when we are told that have faith in Radha Gopinath Ji, it means that we must know that they are in control. When they are in control means how they do it, why they do it, we would not know, but it is really... It is their loving ways in which they are drawing us towards Krishna consciousness. So even the appearance was actually, and the court case, all of that was very unpleasant. But when we look back, now we can joke about it, laugh about it, but it was, we had so many agitations. Our local MP, now he is no more, but he harassed us a lot. He came right in the courtyard, and how they would like to have lot of people with them. So we're not used to it. We don't know how to respond to it. So it was a situation which, as we look back, Radha Gopinath Ji before coming would also wanted to know that are we really prepared to have him there. And fortunately, with the guidance of Radhanath Maharaj all along, and then when the devotees started coming into the temple, when we had the presence, first Govind Prabhu, and then within a year or two all Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj, who was then Devamrit Prabhu, and the Radha Gopinath Prabhu, Sanat Kumar Prabhu, Shyamanand Prabhu, by 1990 the nucleus was already here. And then when they were the ones who really, for the first time we saw stability here, because by that time Radhanath Maharaj also had his vision, and he was given the authority, though he was not a guru, but he had the authority and the influence to put his style, you can say, back into operation. And then and there were again somewhat bewildering in the sense what we had seen, though we were not part of ISKCON, but what we knew of ISKCON generally was that we had seen in Juhu and other temples, Vrindavan we had been to Mayapur by then, because the yatras had started then, not every year, but we had gone to Vrindavan in 86, Mayapur in 88. So what we saw is that the brahmacharis were the main ones who raised funds, and they ran the temple, and there was not much room for those who were outside. So Radhanath Maharaj did two things. One is that he vigorously started house programs, and he insisted that I want a program every day. So there were 7 days a week. Every single day he would have a program. And these programs used to be at different people's homes, and then we would just try to scramble to find someone who would be interested to keep these programs. And the programs would have maybe 20 to 30 people, maybe 40 at the most, various people. And most of the devotees who are here, Sahadev Prabhu's house, and Vishakha Mataji's father, he had hosted a house, and like that program, Vidur Prabhu, who's now in Ahmedabad, like that. Our homes, and those, all the devotees who were here, who were present that time, they were just, and then we got people who were friendly, then they said fine. So he insisted, so that slowly, not only it was not just a philosophical talk, Of course, his potency was so strong that people were attracted. But what was apparent was that he could begin to show his personal concern about his own attitude and behavior, his personal concern about families, which was actually new. You know, it would be completely a surprise to you, but actually speaking, it was not, it was actually very much, new, novel, that Maharaj would spend time with the families, with the wives and the children, because 20, 25 people after the lecture over prasad, and everyone would be down only then. There were even, didn't have much understanding of Vaishnava etiquette, so there was no, not much fanciful, you know, environment to, even for the speaker. And he never presented himself that way. So, well, there was respect for him, but it was almost, it was just, you know, a senior person in ISKCON, almost that kind. Of course, we definitely respected him, but we never showed it in that way which we showed today. You know, it was, and he was like, so he would be sitting on the ground, just maybe on something, laid below. And then there were informal discussions, and we could see the slow binding that used to take place, because people would like to come know him more, do something for him. And then slowly people start coming here. So that was one thing that he started doing. And the other was, he did very astonishing. He said that, I don't want brahmacharis to be involved in fundraising and, you know, that kind of administration tasks on a day-to-day basis. And congregations, devotees should come and help out on that. And as far as fundraising is concerned, he said, Krishna will, let's not have any plans. Any schemes, because we came up with initial schemes that, why don't we imitate Juhu and have life member scheme. The Maharaj said, no, let's not. We are the younger brother, we shouldn't compete with them. What we should do is, we should inspire people. If people get inspired, then they will come to support the temple. So his mood was very, so everybody wanted to please him, so they followed that. And then we had the whole set of doctors who were actually Sukhdev Maharaj, who's in, you know, in Andhra Pradesh and Tamil, in Kurukshetra. He had cultivated Vishwaroop Prabhu, Madhavan Prabhu, Dwarkadish Prabhu. So that was, they were already there by that time. And then Mahaprabhu's family was already there, Ruhaniyandan Prabhu and others. So these were the families which were there. So it was maybe 20, 30 families at the most in the initial days. So the programs were on, and here involvement of congregation slowly started coming in imperceptible ways. And what Maharaj did was that the morning program started taking shape in the real spiritual sense. That there was gradually, I wouldn't remember the years, but perhaps by the late 80s, early 90s, I guess, when the seriousness with which the Mangalati and the whole program would take place. And then post-program, the brahmacharis would be then probably after the mid-90s, when we formally joined ISKCON, then the brahmacharis, the renounced order, would actually be spending several hours in their philosophical study, discussions, tests, exam, whatever, before they spend the whole day and late evening into preaching activities. So there gradually what started evolving was that mood of which again, as we look back, seems miraculous. Because really speaking, why does the congregation come to the temple? If you really see, there are many people in the night program. If you come, there are 150, 200 people who come here. Most of them are visitors. They come here, they love to see the darshan, the Shayan darshan, and they go back. During the day also, many people come for darshan, not just on Sundays. So we would be among them. But then why, say, this group and thousands of others, what is the difference? Why do we just not only take darshan and go back? Because we are coming here to associate with the saintly people. We would like to improve our lives. You know, we would like to take something more from what we have heard and engaged. And how do we take it into our lives back home? So then there were systems formed, the counselor system, mentor system, then there were committees formed, then the projects came. But all of that was primarily really to attract devotees. So once, this is very well captured by one statement which Sachidanand Maharaj, His Holiness Sachidanand Swami, had spoken in 2008. He was quoting, he said, I met Radhanath Swami Maharaj once and I asked him, what is the real reason why people come here to your temples? So is it the philosophy? And Radhanath Swami has said, no, not the philosophy. The philosophy is important, but people come to the temple and they stay here because they would like to see an association which works, an association which supports each other, which loves each other, and which tries to help on a spiritual basis. When they actually see it vibrantly and working well, then the philosophy starts sinking in. So the philosophy is important, very important. But what is the difference between just going to a katha and going back? We may spontaneously agree with the philosophy, we will deeply move, but when we go back, there is no connection. So the reason we keep coming back, he said, was because we want to have a family, and not just a sentimental, emotional family. It is based on Krishna, so it has to have a spiritual base, but there has to be an emotional bond also. And the bond is not on a temporary basis, but bond is on a permanent basis, on the real understanding of who we are, what our lives are, and where we are going. So, keeping that whole situation in mind, he has been evolving the systems and so on. As he understood Srila Prabhupada's vision, as we were told in the morning, that Prabhupada pointed towards 7th Kuya Munshi Marg and said we should have a temple. So you can imagine how empowered Prabhupada was, that he just gave a clarity, and then from that, there is not just a physical temple, but a temple which is really created, you can say, in one sense, pioneered in for ISKCON, a congregational development. And now when we hear of devotee care and so many aspects which are really, as ISKCON is even further maturing, a lot of it has come from experiences from devotees who are connected to Radha Gopinath temple and other temples who have also been following that, particularly in the Asian sector. So when we see that, why is this history important for us? It's not just to, it is one thing we really relish hearing about the past and we enjoy it, especially those who were in that. But that, if you remain at that level, then it is not of much benefit except to kind of give us a sense of enjoyment for some time and, oh, those were the good old days. No, it goes beyond that to understand the amazing, miraculous evolution and then revolution that Krishna has arranged in such a way. And all by Radha Gopinath ji, as we hear, that they have been sitting here, standing here for 28 years watching, and externally there is no movement, but somehow everything is being directed, whether it is for devotees in Dombivli to Dadar or Kalyan to Churchgate, or even that matter, so many satellite units, whoever have been in connection with Radha Gopinath ji. Same with the other temples also, to the extent that we have that kind of faith and that kind of worship, to that extent those deities are really going to take over our lives. So with that mood, when we take it back to our lives, and then when we get this family atmosphere, and we have learned so many things. When I'm looking at my life, I see that after coming to the temple, I really understood what the meaning of class and caste is. For instance, we may not admit it, but in mentally, if you don't believe in the caste system, you believe in the class system, that there is which is there in the world, that those who are economically of a certain class, they'll be flocking together, those who are not very good, they'll flock together, if there are certain castes, they'll be here, and so there will be divides. A temple is one where we have seen Srila Prabhupada's magic, that everyone sits, nobody is questioning the thought doesn't cross our mind as to which state or which language, which education, which gender, what is our background, that we sit here. So that's something which we take it for granted, but actually you don't find it elsewhere in the world. Today, the wrong kind of intermingling takes place and the wrong kind of segregations take place. So that's secondly, even the relationship between the opposite sexes, on such a high level of thinking, people may misunderstand and say that there is a strong divide. It's not that. It is actually built out of deep respect. That, for instance, if there's a renunciate order, then that renunciate order has to be respected, and we must respect the requirements of that ashram, because only if they are strong, then a community can flourish. A community can never flourish unless it has a very strong spiritual foundation. And that foundation has to be watered, and what the congregation can do is to help in inventing an environment and respecting that. And the renounced order, in turn, as Maharaj has always said, in the cooperation, that they also extremely, they're deeply grateful and very respectful towards the Grihastha Ashram, because they see that all the practical aspects and the support that they need, and they find some inspiration also from that. So it's an interdependency. So each one in his own area can see and let it, so to the extent we absorb that mood, to that extent we are actually propagating Radha Gopinath Ji's spirit and spreading it further. And then in from that, we may say all this we have received, so what do we do? I mean, we appreciate that, we understand. So then the question comes of trying to repay our gratitude. We come here, we have to discharge our responsibilities. And Srila Prabhupada said that we discharge our, we make spiritual progress if we discharge our responsibilities. Our responsibilities are of two types. One is to ourselves and one is to others. So for a devotee, ourselves is also important, because we have to first take care of our weaknesses and our problems, our issues, strengthening our spiritual base. And we know what we have to do, variety of things. The nine processes of devotional service are there, and then especially coming to temple, or at least hearing the Bhagavatam lectures or satsang programs, getting into service, so many things. So that is strengthening ourselves, that is responsibility to ourselves. And that and to others means, if we are married, then we have a responsibility to our family, to our spouses, to our children, parents, to our community, and certainly to our temple in whatever ways. So it is not a matter of resources, physical resources. As the ashram indicates, as Prabhupada indicated, you don't need resources to start this. Resources will come, but the inspiration is the most important thing. So therefore, discharging a responsibility, as Prabhupada said, is the best way. And Prabhupada also said that bhakti is actually reciprocation of love. One way of to looking at bhakti means what? It's basically reciprocation, because Krishna is giving us, showering us with love. He guides us to the Guru if we are sincerely desiring. And from our side, we have a deep desire to reciprocate. And if we try, even however small or however pitiful that effort may look, but Krishna sees the effort. So when we do that, then that becomes a reciprocation. And how did Prabhupada tell us to reciprocate? Prabhupada said, I mean, how do we share, give our love to Prabhupada? Prabhupada said that if you just accept what I've given you, follow it and give it to others. That's it. Accept, follow and give it to others. And this is what our life can become. Now, give it to others can be myriad ways. There's thousands of ways. There is direct preaching, there's supporting, there's helping, there are projects, there are our taking care of our own lives, taking care of our children. There's so many, all these are devotional services. Actually, everything we do with the consciousness of trying to help to the other person, we are serving selflessly. A mother will serve the child, father will serve the child. But if they do it in a consciousness that they are, I must at least, however failingly I do it with the intention that they are products of Krishna, trying to understand what I can do it. Sometimes we are clumsy, sometimes we are perhaps too rigid, and we make mistakes. But if the intention is right, and if we persevere, we will definitely, Krishna will protect our efforts. So this is how we could discharge our, means we reciprocate by giving it to others. And of course, we have 80-90 programs a week from our temple. This is all emanated from that, all the support of the congregation. It amazes me how devotees can come, you know, from so far. It's really astonishing. I mean, for instance, this Sunday cooking, I remember in the, whenever it started, maybe in the 90s, devotees would gather to just, so once in a while. So there was this Amal Bhakt Prabhu, who stays in Kalyan. And the only time I got association with him was when because he was in the same group as me. So though he was in a, and he would never fail to come. And I would always, I still wonder, but then that is one of those earliest memories, that how a person from Kalyan would come on a Sunday early morning to come and cook and go away, attend the program and go away. devotees were less, but he would still come there. So, for instance, Narayan Prabhu in our gift shop is there since more than 25 years, steadily just and very happy doing that. You know, that is his gift shop, that is his karma bhumi, and he has got his role in life, and he is very happy. You know, as one can say, doesn't have any ambitions to have five other shops. No, he's very happy here. So we can see among, we need to observe and we need to appreciate, and that's why we need to go outside our own life. What happens is that when we are absorbed in our own problems, our own life and our own thing, even in spiritual life, that I just need to chant, I need to do this, I need to do that, and what's in it for me? So to the extent that my progress is benefited from by others' association, I'll take it. But to the extent it is not, then I ignore it. Actually, the counselor system, mentor system is being set up primarily to help on small groups. But Maharaj has always mentioned that it is not the 150 husband-wife counselors or 150 mentors who are the preachers. You mean to say only these 300 people have a right to? No, actually there are thousands, and we see that also. You know, somebody who's only 5 years in the movement or 2 years in the movement, or maybe just 6 months, but he is out of enthusiasm and conviction brought somebody to the temple. He's a counselor. He's counseling in his own way. So we need an organization. We need a kind of structure, because otherwise you cannot really grow the way we are growing, or any institution grows. But the essence of counseling, or the essence of it, basically there is no formality needed. There is, it's a desire to give to others. As Prabhupada said, that if you receive, just give it to others, as he has done it all over the world. So that is the mood which he wanted, and that's the mood which Radhanath Maharaj has inculcated, and that's the mood we see it is prevailing in that. So as we, and there can be so many forms. This drama form is one of the best ways. It is these, in, whether it's in the temple or it's in the auditoriums, even that also we realize later, because initially I think the first drama may have been 1994 or 93, I'm not sure, but it wasn't clear what the purpose is. But only later we could see, when it had a continuity every year, that we could see the connection. And those initials, the first time the dramas were done, I remember the very first year there were 16 dramas of 5 minutes each. They were skits actually, because nobody had any confidence that they would remember more than 5 minutes. So even if 7 people came together, they couldn't do more than 5 minutes. There was so much of nervousness. And then it became 15 minutes after, I think, 1 or 2 years. And I remember the very first, that there were many scenes. Shyamanan Prabhu was, I remember in one of those 5 minute skits, he was the one of the Smartha Brahmins. I don't remember the play. And Sade Prabhu was Lord Shiva. I still can't forget him scampering along the, you know, running, because he was in that play of Durvasa Muni. So Durvasa Muni was after him, and he was running across so gracefully on the stage. So there are so many wonderful memories, but we can see from the memories, what do we learn? That as the dramas progressed, it brought the whole aspect of culture. And then we saw that picture of Prabhupada, you know, with a wonderful smile, the red sweater, he's clapping, he's looking at a drama. Actually, at least for my sake, I did not realize to what extent Prabhupada wanted it to happen. This happened just spontaneously and it was just fun. But later on we saw that it is a critical aspect of getting not only outside devotees, but also our own family members and ourselves really involved in all aspects. Similarly, with yatras, we are all participating in that. Again, it is not just a matter of a vacation, but it's a matter of people coming together in a very wonderful atmosphere, traveling together. Most of the time we don't recognize people. Still, we go ahead and we have a deep affection. So, everything has a reason. So, we may not realize it. We just follow sincerely part. Many things are happening today we may not realize. The GEV project at WADA, there's so much attention, so much effort going on. It is, we're having some idea now. But believe me, the way things are progressing in the world, the environment issues, health issues, it will be only 5, 10, 15, 20 years later and we'll see. Just like we are realizing Prabhupada's 7 point for ISKCON. I remember reading it, most of us have read it earlier, but when we read it now, it's astonishing to know how could he even imagine every word of it is so suited and what is critical, and everything so consistent even 50 years later. Similarly, GEV will be a critical thing which is needed for the long-term future. So many of the things that are happening in our lives and outside, We must have that faith, and that comes from Radha Gopinath Ji's inspiration that we get in our lives. So when we come here, we don't pray for, we should not pray for a change in the situation. For instance, we're having some serious problem of whatever type, and we say, just change it and I'll do this for you. Then that is bargaining. But if Krishna wants it to improve, it will improve. Krishna knows, and we should know that Krishna knows. But if he wants it to worsen, and then we, before our realization improves, it could, it may happen. And for that we need to see our own lives, that we have come to the moment, at times it must have been very traumatic. Maybe we came when we were in the most despair. So then why Krishna created the situation? Because then only we came to the temple. Or when we were in the temple and then suddenly things fell off the cliff and then we took it seriously. So all we need to do is just to hang on and understand the magical mystery of Radha Gopinath Ji, how they have been working. And we just looked around. We see, if you see from a positive light, if you are critical, you know, see what happens when we have relationships and we see our tendency is that we could be, we have a close friendship with maybe 10, 20, 30 people whom we know. And then we maybe know another 100, 150 people somewhat. And then some others are more familiar, just familiarity that we have seen them for coming to the temple. And then there are many, they are just faces, but like it happens in yatras also now, we don't see most of them. But if we were to see the link that we don't need to know them necessarily, in the sense of personal knowing their backgrounds, where they came from, where they studied, what they did. When we go to Mayapur temple in the morning, you see from at least 40, 50 countries, devotees are there. But you still feel that it is your family, isn't it? I really relish this feeling when I go to, on occasion, say you're going to a social occasion and you're going to a wedding or something where you haven't, I mean, you are not too keen, but you're gone because you have to do an obligation. And you have some relatives and all that, so you don't expect any devotees because that's a different world. And suddenly you find some devotee whom you don't know well, and he or she is known to the other party or some reason they're there. It's happened to me a few times, and it is such a joy. You just gravitate towards that person, because even if you don't know them in the temple, but you feel you know that person more than you know all your blood relations. Everybody experiences that. So we can really see how Radha Gopinath Ji and ISKCON and Prabhupada's mystical weave, you know, embrace has brought us here. So if we appreciate that and we cling on to that, then we see the positives and not the negatives. And when we see the positives, we don't need to know other people. We know them and we don't know them. We don't know them in the sense that we don't know them intimately. But the fact that they are devotees, and we don't have to judge whether they are sincere or not, because nobody is judging us. God forbid. If they were to judge us, then we would be exposed. So we don't need to judge others, but we take that. And for those fortunate ones, if you are fortunate to know some devotees, to the extent we appreciate their glories, we should take advantage of that. So people come to the temple. We come to the temple constantly, essentially to get the saintly association, to hear the lectures. So this is one major thing that we could take by. And the other, I would end with this by saying that what are the challenges in doing this? You know, where do we look at? One is, I mentioned that the diversity of the group is so large that we may be mistaking, you know, we may perhaps start feeling that now we are lost in a big whirlpool and we are a small tiny cog. But actually, and then slowly lose interest and you become only just a small center or a small group. And then we stop coming to temple feeling that, well, we don't know people. We don't have any connection to the temple. So it is possible, it is likely that, you know, if we have joined in, when the temple was small and now it has become so large, that you do not have, you're not going to know most of the people. But that is, as I said, it's not necessary that we know, but we just draw inspiration to see that, how is it that they are coming? When I see, like I came to the temple, started coming when I was 31. And today most of the people, I would say perhaps 80-90% or more, may be coming when they are much younger. This Prerna and Chetna programs and the IYS groups and so many are coming, and when they are in their late teens or early 20s. So just saying that, then if you remember that what you were doing when at their age, 25 and 30, then you, and in a much, now the situation is so much worse in the world, and in spite of that people are actually coming, so that's a great inspiration we can take. So even if we don't know them, we just know the situation and we take pride in the fact that that we belong to such a wonderful organization and a movement, where there will be always some issues or the other, there will always be some people who may have done. But the fact that most people are taking it seriously and struggling, whatever their backgrounds and whatever their education levels, age levels, it doesn't matter. So that we know that it is actually applicable to us. And the other challenge is to make sure that we do not come to such a stage where our expectations start rising. See, what happens is that devotees are extremely, especially new devotees, when they come, if you remember ourselves also, when we entered and, you know, we have just come from a world which we are familiar with to another world, and then initially we have seen, we have heard people, you know, it's a very rarefied atmosphere. We hear something, we really appreciate the philosophy, and then there are speakers whom we have, many of them we wouldn't encounter in the outside world. Suddenly we are in a perfect world. At least it looks perfect for us straight away. And it's such a vast contrast that we are so deferential, and so the new devotee is very vulnerable in that sense. And therefore he is willing to give extremely, he will be very respectful. So the danger is that as we grow longer, then we start, we may not believe in the class and caste system, but we do believe that there will be hierarchies, the seniority, juniority. So we should not be thinking that we are senior. It may be for new people, it is probably good for them to understand that they are, that they respect others. They need to do that. But it is not for the person who is on the other side to expect that. So each one has his own viewpoint which he or she needs to see. So therefore, we should not slip into that feeling of saying that now I've done enough, now I've I've moved to another level wherein I'm now, I've graduated. So-called, we start thinking that there are kind of hierarchies or levels, they're moving from one level to another level. So that's the danger which we should avoid. And and lastly, just one point, that it may be obvious to us that this Radha Gopinathji's magic and Srila Prabhupada's desire, and then Radhanath Maharaj has actually demonstrated and really manifested all this here. So obviously we can't take any credit. No individual can take any credit. It would be a joke to even consider that. So that I think most people will agree. But what we should also remember is that while we may not be taking any credit, we should not be taking credit, and we don't deserve any credit, because it's, we are actually, we say we are very fortunate. But we have enough power to cause discredit. We're too small to take credit, but we're not too small to cause a discredit. So that is a critical lesson we should take back, that at least we shouldn't be seen as a blot on Srila Prabhupada's movement. Because we are too small to be, for people, ultimately it will immediately go on the Hare Krishna movement and the founder if we do anything wrong. And wrong means it may be gross or it may be just our behavior. So the tendency, if you are very arrogant, if you have done, if you have achieved a lot of services, if you have gifted speakers, gifted this, and you know, slowly the tendency comes. So if there is non-cooperation, there is arrogance, there is anger, and there is sectarism, we may stop talking to some devotees, and this kind of divisiveness that takes place, that could be a very big danger. We may not realize it, but eventually there are enough people outside, whether it's our neighbors, relatives, others who are not into ISKCON, but they see us as a link to the Hare Krishna movement. So the minute they see, they judge the whole movement based on us, which may look very incongruous, because what is one individual in lakhs of people around the world, in 600 centers, but nevertheless that is their window to ISKCON and to Prabhupada's movement. So at least we should see that our behavior should not come to a level where we cause discredit. If we certainly can't do much to cause credit, at least we should not cause any discredit. So I'll stop here, and Hare Krishna.